Bun găsit la Consiliul Europei, sunt Iolanda Bădiriță. În mai multe țări europene există în acest moment mișcări separatiste. Vorbim pe de o parte de regiuni precum regiunea transnistreană a Republicii Moldova, care au reușit prin forță separarea de facto, în ciuda nerecunoașterilor la nivel internațional. Și pe de alta, de regiuni care doresc să se separe în mod democratic, precum Catalonia în Spania sau Scoția în Marea Britanie. Respingerea în septembrie anul trecut a referendumului scoțian s-a făcut pe fondul declarațiilor mai multor oficiali ai Uniunii Europene, care au făcut clar că o Scoție independentă își va pierde statutul de membru al Uniunii Europene. Referendumul a trecut, iar acum în Scoția se discută despre devoluție, despre devoluția Marii Britanii. Ce înseamnă aceasta și ce consecințe va avea într-un interviu cu Christina McKelvey, președinte al Comitetului de Afaceri Externe din Parlamentul de la Edinburgh, și cu John Wormisham, șeful delegației Marii Britanii la Congresul Puterilor Locale și Regionale a Consiliului Europei. Mrs. McKelvey, thank you so much for being with us. Mr. Wormisham, thank you so much for being with us. The rejection of Scottish independence ended one debate, but sparked new questions about a devolution of power in the UK. Mrs. McKelvey, what does this mean, devolution? Some say that it's nothing else as participatory democracy. Is it true?
Yeah, in some cases it can be called that. Others have said devolution, powers devolved or powers retained. So there's sometimes not that belief in devolution that there should be. However, if you use the Scottish Parliament as an example, the devolved Scottish Parliament was set up 16 years ago with devolution for health, education, justice and local government. We have grown that, we have developed that, and we now have a very divergent system from the rest of the UK with a free at point of need health service, free at point of whether you've got the ability for further and higher education, you know, and now a community empowerment bill that takes further devolution down into our communities. So it can mean many things, but for us in Scotland, it is about giving power back to the person.
Mr. Wormisham, you are representing here the English-speaking population in the UK. In this respect, in your capacity here, how do the English citizens assess this process? This devolution, do they feel like they lose something?
I wouldn't say they feel like they lose something. I think we want devolution. I think in the UK, particularly England, I think things are too centralised. And I certainly think, myself coming from Greater Manchester, we're in the process now of having our own devolution. I don't think it goes far enough, I'll be honest, but it's a start. And I think you'll get other areas within the UK, certainly colleagues in Yorkshire, in Merseyside, possibly the North East, they want devolution as well. It's about being able to deliver local services to local people and having your own finances so that you're able to do that.
Once the Scotland will succeed, is also the Ireland going to follow?
Do you mean Northern Ireland? I think that debate's still going on. I think, you know, the problem with Northern Ireland is the history behind what's gone on there. And I think if it was to be done, it'd have to be done sort of slowly and carefully, because there are sort of some real, real issues and tensions that'll come out there.
Are the positions of the political parties on the transfers of powers to local governments very different?
Not really, because what we have in the Scottish Parliament right now is a Community Empowerment Bill, which is at amendment stage. So it's now been amended basically by political parties. That's the process that our legislation goes through. We have a Parliament that's made up of many parties, and it should be a constant coalition, although in 2011 our party took the majority of the seats. It's not meant to be a majority parliament, so it allows for much more influence from political parties into pieces of legislation. So when it comes down to it, the principles people agree in, it's the detail they then have the debate on.
Everyone is asking, however, are you going to reopen the question of Scotland's position within the UK in the near future?
Well, near future is a relative term, isn't it? I think there is a few things that may trigger a further referendum, as and when the people of Scotland demand it, and that would be our position. It would be another referendum. I think the prospect of Scotland being taken out of Europe via an in-and-out referendum, you know,
we'll
taken forward by a UK government, that would be maybe a trigger point. And if that's going to happen, I think the timetable for that's 2017. Mm. We may see a referendum on Scottish independence a lot sooner.
Mr. Wormisham, a question to you. How do you assess the consequences of a successful separation of Scotland would have at the European level, being keeping in mind the separatist movement which already exists in other countries?
I think for the UK it would cause us difficulties at first. And I think when you look at what is going on in Spain and other countries where you've got the, you know, Basques and Catalonians, and I just think it's just widespread now. I think people have got their own identity. They want their own powers and their own devolution. And I think the debate today showed that, where you had various other countries asking questions of how did we do it, what did we do. And I think for me, as a, you know, I'm not going to hide it, I'm a socialist. I think anything that comes out democratic and is sort of within local democracy can only be a good thing. And I think it's about, you know, I got into politics to empower people and to make sure that, you know, that they had a voice. You know, I think you look around sort of Congress today and it's a lot of older people, but then we've got the youth delegates that are here, which is refreshing. And I think my colleague from Scotland, Marie, is probably the youngest delegate within the Congress. And that's worrying. It's about sort of empowering people, and particularly young people, to actually have a voice and to, you know, to guide the services, you know, what needs to be done in a country.
You mentioned a word, democracy, when you spoke about the Scottish referendum. Scotland has tried to achieve this goal of being independent through democratic means, but there are other movements in region where those efforts are being done using military force, propaganda, involvement of third parties, usually much more powerful countries. Yeah. How do you assess? I'd like to have your answers on this.
I find it disgusting. I think it's supposed to be a democratic Europe, and you're seeing what's happening in parts of Europe. I just think it's unacceptable.
I
just think I'd rather have the ballot box than the gun. I just think we've been through two world wars. We've had wars on our doorstep within Europe. You're seeing what's going on in the Middle East. And it's just the world is becoming a violent place. And I think rather than turn to sort of weapons, you know, it should be, people should have the right to vote on what they want for, proper democracy, proper empowerment.
Your answer, please.
Yeah, I think John's absolutely right in most of those points, and I agree with him. One of the things that happened in Scotland was that people realised that democracy wasn't something that was done to them. It was something that they could take part in.
Absolutely.
And that was the key moment, that was the switch coming on, where people realised, this is my decision. And that's when we had town halls filled, we had public meetings, we had the most amazing rallies and demonstrations and singing and dancing and all of the good things that bring people together. And that's why I think all of Europe and wider, you know, still are looking at the Scottish experience, because that was a template on how to do it properly. Our First Minister and the Prime Minister agreed terms. They stayed to those terms. you know, the referendum was conducted where the only real weapons were words. Mm-hmm. And for me, that is what democracy actually is. It has to be about words, that your weapons are your words and the force of your argument, not the force of your military or the force of your secret service or the force of, you know, any other sinister means that you take to either push or mould or determine a nation's future.
A question also to you. Do you have any English propaganda in Scotland?
Well, very interestingly, we had English Voters for Yes campaign. We had many, many people who are English who have settled.
But this was propaganda or just...
No. These were people who supported independence, who started their own group called English People for Independence. There were people that settled in Scotland, made Scotland their home, you know, but their birthplace was England and decided that they wanted to be just as good a part of the Scottish Yes vote as possible. Propaganda? The mainstream media, and in some cases our national broadcaster, could be accused of propaganda and still are to this day. We had a tagline of one of our MPs being interviewed yesterday about the upcoming election and the possibility of a huge number of SNP MPs going to Westminster, and the strapline across the bottom said SNP threat.
Do you agree with this, Mr. Womisham?
Again, I think people have got to be able to make up their own minds. I think we're supposed to live in a democratic society. And so if people have settled in Scotland, they love Scotland, and I've got to say I think it's a beautiful country, you know, they've got the right to set up that. But when it comes to propaganda, the press and the media in the UK is awful. I just think the way it treats politicians, the way that they are undemocratic, and particularly some of the right-wing press and some of the nonsense that they come out with, it just beggars belief at times, it really does.
My last question to you, and especially to you, Mrs. Kelvin. UK is set for election in May. Supposedly, Mr. Cameron's party will win and the referendum on UK's exit from the EU will be successful. What will be Scotland's position?
Well, it takes us back to the fundamental idea of the referendum. The no vote was secured on the campaign called Better Together. They told us we were better together, that we were part of a family of nations. Now, that family of nations means that each member of that family has equal status. So when it comes to a vote to be in or out of Europe, then each constituent part of that family of nations should have an overall majority for that. And if one doesn't, then the rest shouldn't take that country out of Europe. So, the way we look at it, and I think Wales are much the same position as Scotland in this. Northern Ireland, I think, maybe a bit more ambiguous about whether they want to stay in or out of Europe. But one nation shouldn't determine the future in Europe of the other nations. So that, therefore, we have asked Mr. Cameron to put in place that it has to be an overall majority in each of the four constituent parts of the United Kingdom before we have for Brexit.
Mrs. McKelvey, Mr. Wormisham, thank you so much for this interview.
Thank
Pleasure.
You.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.